Today we're going to look in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. The passage is very familiar. It is the passage where the angel comes to Mary to tell her that she is going to give birth to Jesus, that she's going to have a child. And so this is a very familiar passage to all of us. But when you read it and you think about it, and we, you know, it's one of these ones that we read, especially at Christmas time. But when we really read it and study it and digest what the angel is telling Mary, it's really life-changing. It's revolutionary. It changes the way we should think at Christmas. And we know there's no such thing as a Santa Claus. We know there's none of that materialistic stuff really matters. That really the reason for this time of the year is to celebrate the birth of Christ and to celebrate only his birth. And these passages from Scripture, especially in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, reminds us of the story, the simple story that took place. But when you really examine it, there's a lot of hope here. This passage offers great hope. It offers great joy, especially in the year that we've been facing. I mean, we never thought we would have a year like this. I mean, one thing after another. In 2019, I thought the biggest event that would happen nationally in America would be the election. I knew that would dominate. But we never saw COVID-19 coming to our shores and how it's affected the whole entire world. Even in the Philippines, there are families where children have not been able to leave their home since March. And it's changed society. Many things have changed this year. And a lot of things will probably change next year. Everybody's ready for 2020 to be over. I think I kind of agree. But when we come to this time of the year at Christmas, we want to remember the traditions that we've had as family, the Christmas traditions. Maybe one of your traditions is to sing certain hymns to each other. Maybe to have a certain meal. Or you open up gifts in a certain way. You want to make sure everyone's together. I have some traditions of my own. I told my wife, Kim, I said, yeah, I got certain songs that I like to hear at Christmas. And it reminds me of this season. But when we think about what Scripture tells us in regards to the birth of Christ, it's good to go back to these passages and reflect on them and see exactly what was said, when, and how, and what implications that has. In the passage before us, we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and go through verse 38. I've entitled this, "The Greatest Child Ever Born," because that is true. He is the greatest child ever to be born, and that is what the angel will tell Mary. And we know that this child will be Jesus. But it's a very interesting story, very familiar story. It reads very simply. But when you examine it and look at it in detail, there's so much to rejoice in and so much to learn. Just to give you a perspective, the last book of the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. Even when you look at it chronologically, the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. And in the last section of Malachi, it talks about how Elijah is going to return, right? It gives a pronouncement that Elijah is going to return. And after that, there is no more discussions, no more revelation from God for nearly 400 years. And that period of time between the Old Testament and the New Testament is called the intertestamental period. Now, history keeps going and there's things that take place. By the time you get to the pages of the New Testament, The Roman Empire is on the scene. They weren't there at the end of the Old Testament. So a lot of things have changed historically, but in terms of God revealing himself, announcing things, silence, for over 400 years. And then all of a sudden, the angel comes to Zacharias in the early part of this chapter. And when the angel comes and visits Zacharias, as the angel's going to visit Mary, when the angel comes and visits Zacharias, it's the first time God has said anything in over 400 years. And the first thing he announces through the angel is that the fulfillment of the prophecy in Malachi is now. It's like God is picking up where he left off and the birth of John the Baptist is announced. But throughout the Old Testament, the Jews, the people of Israel, had been longing for their Messiah, had been longing for the Messiah to come. Prophecies had been given about the coming of the Messiah, the first coming of the Messiah. And the time had arrived for that to take place. You know, we look back on it all as history. It's all happened. Christ has come. He's lived. He's died. He's risen again. He's ascended back into heaven. And now we wait for his second return. But for people like Mary, they were living in anticipation. Every Jew longed for the Messiah. He had been prophesied. And now the time had come for the announcement to be made to a little young woman, a very young woman, that she is going to give birth to the Messiah in a miraculous way. This event would never take place again. This would be unique throughout all of human history. And what the angel tells Mary is life-changing. We pick up the story in verse 26 of Luke 1, Luke chapter 1, and it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now, when you read that, you say, yeah, okay, that's just historical information. That's true, but you've got to understand something. When it says, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, that's just like saying any city, doesn't matter which one. It's not like Nazareth is special. I mean, even in the Gospel of John, you know, it says, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And what's the response? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, Nazareth was not the center of the world. Not back then. Nazareth was just some town in some place. It had no significance whatsoever. But it would become very significant. This is where the angel goes. Galilee was a region in the northern part of Israel. Jerusalem was in the south, and in between was Samaria, where the Jews would not walk through because they didn't believe the Samaritans were worthy of God. But the angel comes, names Gabriel, sent from God. He comes to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And Joseph was of the house of and lineage of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Again, just more historical, factual information, but you have to understand something. You have Mary and Joseph, and they're betrothed to each other. They're going to get married. I remember when I asked my wife to get married. Life changed in a moment, you know? Because I knew that there was going to come a time when, you know, we would have our wedding ceremony. And we had it here at this church. And remember, we had the reception over there in the fellowship hall. I think I even had to make some of the soft mint candy by hand. I was required to do that. But, you know, it's a wonderful time when you're engaged. And Mary and Joseph are engaged. They're going to get married. It's going to be in the future. And there's a whole year-long thing that takes place in preparation for that one big event. And all the families are rejoicing at this and anticipating this. And Joseph and Mary are going to get married, and Mary's going to come into his home, and they're going to have children, and he's going to take care of her, and they're going to live in Nazareth. What could change that? An angel coming to her. It's interesting, Joseph is of the house and lineage of David. That has significance. But verse 28, the angel comes to her. Now that didn't happen every day. You have to understand, angels visiting doesn't happen every day. That's unique. The angel comes to her and he says, "Hail thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." He calls out to her. He announces himself. And he says, "You're highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women." Listen, angels, when this happens, this doesn't happen every day. Mary's never been visited by an angel. She's probably led a pretty common life. No drama. Not much drama, at least. Nothing like this. So the angel comes to her and he says, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." I mean, he's extolling her, announcing blessing to her. That's why it says when she saw him, verse 29, she was troubled. Because this is not happening every day. This is unique. You know, there are people who go around talking about they've been visited by angels and all kinds of things, you know. Trust me, this is not happening every day. If angels were really visiting you, it would change your life in the matter of seconds. There are angels. They are real. And the way they're portrayed on TV, that's not happening. But this is a real thing. This is a unique thing. Something is going to change in human history from this point on. Life is not going to be the same, Mary. And she has no idea how to even process all of this. She's troubled at his saying, and she casts in her mind, "What manner of salutation is this? I've never been greeted by an angel. I've never experienced anything like this. What is going on? What in the world is happening? I have no framework to process this. I can't Google this and figure out what's going on. I can't get on YouTube and ask, has somebody else been visited by an angel? What's going on?" I mean, all that she knows is what she's been taught from Scripture, from the Old Testament. But this is unique. This is special. Then the angel says to her, "Fear not. I know that I've come into your world. God has sent me here. I've invaded your world, and your life's about to change in a way that you never could dream. In a way that you would never imagine. But your life's going to change. And what's going to happen to you is going to change the world." And she's just a young woman. An insignificant woman. To everybody else. And God has bestowed favor upon her, and he says, "Fear not, fear not. Mary, you have found favor." It's not that Mary was sinless, and that's why God found favor with her. It wasn't that. It was something in Mary This finding favor with God that God has bestowed upon her is not because of her own goodness or her own perfections, because she was not perfect. She was a sinner like all of us, in needing of a Savior. This is God's sovereign choice to choose her for this. And he sends an angel to make that announcement. He says, what I'm about to tell you is going to change your life. What I'm about to tell you is going to change everything that you've ever known, and it's going to affect you in a unique way, in a powerful way, and what I'm about to tell you is going to change the rest of the world. And this is where we have to focus. It's the content of what the angel actually says to her. It's what he communicates to her that we have to meditate on, especially at this time of the year. The angel's not just coming and announcing something and say, okay, now time for a commercial. No. This is going to have a lasting impact forever and ever. What is going to be announced here has been planned and prepared for generations. And now it's come. And it didn't happen in the big city of Jerusalem. It didn't happen to someone who is high society. It happened to a little girl, to a young woman, who nobody would know. And God visits her through the angel and says, what I'm about to tell you is going to change the world and change everything that you've ever known. I'm going to tell you about a child that you're going to give birth to. I'm going to tell you about the one who will be the greatest child ever to be born. And he starts in verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. You're going to give birth to a child, and his name is Jesus. Say, okay. We read this every year, but stop and think about it. Now, to us, names are not that important. I mean, you may have a name that's popular. You may could ask your parents, why did you call me? Why did you name me? I asked my parents that one time. Why Vincent? My eldest sister, her name's Midgie. She was named after a character in a coloring book. I kid you not. My wife, I think, found the coloring book somewhere. One of us found it. It wasn't me, but there was a coloring book, and my sister told me about it. But she remembers being told that she was named after a character in a coloring book. Interesting, her name, if you try to say her name to your cell phone, which I have her name as a contact where I can call my sister, my phone says that person doesn't exist. It doesn't register. I asked my parents one time, why'd you call me Vincent? Well, there used to be a horror movie actor named Vincent Price. I said, you're kidding me. I couldn't be. Oh, my goodness, you know. Are you saying that when I was born, I was a horror? You know, I don't know. No, they were just, that's not the reason. But, you know, we really don't treat names like any special thing to it. But here, the name is unique and for a reason. Now, the word Jesus, his name will be called Jesus. That's a common name. It's the actual same name as Joshua. It is a very common name in the Jewish society. However, it's what that name means that's important. And when you go to the Gospel of Matthew, when the angel visits Joseph, says the same thing to him, but adds a little statement, says, his name will be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is what's life-changing. You You say, what's the big deal? Well, you know that. We agree to that. Yeah, but you've got to think about it. You got to think about this. The whole world from Adam and Eve is dead in their sins, right? All of us, we're dead in our sins. We are all sinners. All deserving of God's judgment, all deserving of God's wrath. We have nothing that commends us to God to live with Him for an eternity, to have a relationship with Him. We have nothing. There is none righteous, no, not one. Everyone seeks their own way. And when Paul put that together in Romans chapter 3, he's listing verses from the Old Testament. He wasn't making this up. So every person born on the planet is a sinner. That's just the way it is. And so a sinner needs a savior. People try to save themselves by saying, I'm a good person. I'm not bad. You know, when I die, I'm going to go to be, God's going to see me. He's going to look at me, see all the good deeds I've done, and bring me into heaven. Sinners are judged for their sin, and you can't do anything to save yourself. Paul's very clear about that in Ephesians chapter 2. It's what we call total depravity. We need a Savior. We need one who can come and save us from our sins. We think COVID is bad. COVID is nothing compared to the sickness of sin. COVID could kill you. Many things can kill you. Driving in your car, you could die if you got in an accident. You know what kills for eternity? Is sin. And so the angel says, Mary, you're going to give birth to a child and you will call his name Jesus. He is the one that will save people from their sins. He is the only one. There's no salvation in Buddha. There's no salvation in Confucius. There's no salvation in any other. Only Jesus. There's this guy in the Philippines. He lives in the southern part of the Philippines. And his name is Quibaloy. He believes that he can save people from sin. He calls himself the Son of God. An angel supposedly visited him in the 70s, told him that Jesus failed, and now you're the new Son of God. He believes it. He's got 3 million followers around the world. He's also got a lot of motorbikes, cars. You know how this runs, right? He also now believes that he is the Holy Spirit. He also believes that he's God the Father, and you pray in his name for salvation. I don't think so. There's only one Savior. And when the angel comes to Mary and says this, he's saying his purpose will be to save people from their sins. He's the one that can release the guilt. He's the one that can release the bondage to sin. He is the one through his death and resurrection can accomplish your salvation and my salvation so that we can be his children and we can live with him for eternity. When the angel tells this to Mary, it's like everything you've been looking forward to, everything that's been said throughout the Old Testament is now going to come true. Because Jesus is going to be born. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Lamb of God who can take away the biggest thing that hinders you from ever having eternal life is your sin. And Christ came to die on your behalf, to rise again so that there can be a resurrection. Think about it. If your sins are forgiven, God did that for you out of his love and his grace and his mercy. Your life has been changed. And no matter how much we suffer in this life, trust me, we will suffer. One way or the other. Life here is not easy and it never will be. There's no grass greener on the other side. Not in this life. But there will come a day when we will experience that fullness of the eternal life that we've received. Because Jesus could do that in the announcements being made. His purpose would be to save his people from their sins, but that's not the only thing that the angel said. Look at verse 32. He shall be great. There's nobody going to be greater than him. Listen, there's no salvation in government. I don't care which party you're of. They can't save you. They can't solve all the problems. There's no one greater than Christ himself. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's why it says Joseph is of the lineage of David. And as you will learn in Luke chapter 2, Mary is a descendant of David as well. He is going to be given throne. And that means one thing to Mary. The Jews have been told throughout the Old Testament that the Messiah would come and rule and reign. And the angel's saying, Mary, this child that you're going to give birth to, he is that one. He is that Messiah. He will be great. He will be Son of the Highest. He will sit on the throne. He is the sovereign one. He is going to be the ruler. And what a great ruler he will be. Today in government, I don't care what country you're from, there's corruption everywhere you go. Just turn on the news, they'll tell you about it. But there's no corruption with God. He shall reign, verse 33, over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. That is the fulfillment of many prophecies in the Old Testament to say that this Messiah, this child, he is the one that will rule and reign forever. He is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. He is the fulfillment of everything we've been looking for. And he's the one that will have total authority. He told his disciples, I have power to lay my life down and take it back up again. We don't have that kind of power. Last time I checked, none of us are Avengers. Get me? We don't have special powers. You know, Spider-Man, Captain America, all these people, they're fictional. Back in the days of the kingdom of Greece and even the kingdom of Rome, Roman Empire, they had these gods and goddesses, right? It's all myths, fables, fiction. There's only one who has all authority and all power. And he's coming into this world to die on a cross and rise again to save us. Not only would his purpose be to save people from their sins, his authority would be to rule over everything. And we don't fear that. You ought to rejoice in that. This world is falling apart. It's been falling apart since the Garden of Eden. And you read the book of Revelation and you see how God's going to take back the planet and how he's going to wipe it out. And at the end of it all, the heavens and the earth, the universe that you and I know, that we have science books that's written about it. We got astronomers who research it. It's all going to melt with fervent heat. It's not going to be eternal. It's not going to last. And God is going to allow us to live with him forever in a new heavens, in a new earth, where there's no more sickness, No more sorrow. No more pain. No more disease. No more COVID. That'll be the biggest vaccine ever. It won't even exist. And you'll have a resurrected body. No more aches and pains. No more tears. No more sorrow. We don't know what that's like because we live with that every day. It's because we have a great and mighty one who will rule. And what he says will be the way it is. And what he has promised will be given. Now Mary, verse 34, she does ask the question. She says, how can this be? She's just being honest. Her and Joseph are not married yet. They're just betrothed. How can I have a child when I haven't been married? Look at what the angel says in verse 35. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee. The power of the highest, meaning God, God's power is going to overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, the Holy One, which shall be born in thee and from thee, shall be called the Son of God. Now, you got to notice what the angel doesn't tell her. He doesn't give her a science lesson. He doesn't give her all that. He doesn't explain to her what's going to happen from a scientific perspective. She doesn't need that. She's asking a legitimate question. And the angel has an answer. God's just going to do it. God's going to come and take care of you, Mary. God's going to make this happen. The power, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. God's power is going to overshadow you. That's all you need to know. Everything's going to be okay. You know, we live in our life with a lot of uncertainties. And we try to figure everything out. I mean, I bet you one of the big topics you're thinking about is, do I take that vaccine or not? Everybody's talking about it. It's out there. And we try to understand every uncertainty. Trust me, you can't live that way. Not ultimately. Mary, you're going to have to live in faith. You're going to have to live in faith. You're going to have to believe. I'm going to take care of it. The angel says God's going to take care of it. He's going to come. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you in a way that, you know, this is unique. And the power of God's going to overshadow you, and you will give birth, and the one that will come from you, he will be called the Son of God. The emphasis here on what the angel is saying is that last statement. He said his name will be Jesus. He says he'll be the Son of the Highest. Now, Son of God. The Son of God is a term of deity. You know, the Gospel of John starts out with that the Word was God. It talks about his eternality. Jesus would tell the religious leaders, before Abraham was, I am. And that speaks of Old Testament language. And it talks about how before Abraham existed, I was there. What? Paul would tell us in Philippians chapter 2 that the religious leaders and those would just look at Jesus like he's a regular man. What they didn't see and what they failed to see is that he is God. Emmanuel, God with us. And the angel's telling Mary, he is the Son of God. He is deity. Not only does he have all authority, he was there when creation happened. He put you together. He gave you your intellect. He gave you everything that you have. The complexity of our bodies, the complexity of the earth, the complexity of it all, He created it. His deity would be to display Himself as the Son of God. I've read people who say, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. Really? You read the Gospels. He makes it very clear. He's not bashful about telling everybody He's the Son of God. That's why they would spit in His face, and that's why they wanted Him on a cross and wanted to treat Him like a criminal. It's interesting. The religious leaders opposed His deity. They opposed His authority. And they didn't believe that He could ever be a sacrificial lamb. What the angel announces will happen, the religious leaders denied it on all fronts. But it's true. When we celebrate the birth of Christ this year, let us rejoice in who our Lord is. Think about Him. He's the Son of God. He has all authority. And out of His love and His grace, when I didn't deserve it, He saved me from my sins. Everything you have, every ability you have, comes from Him. Everything that God has given you, He's given you from Himself. You were created in His image, as we learn in Genesis 1. He gave you intellect, reasoning, gave you a brain. The complexity of it all, He shows Himself Lord every day. You know, Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, there are some who are going to come, really many who are going to come to Him and say, Lord, Lord. Is that true? Is He Lord? Yes. And they're going to have the right verbiage. Lord, Lord, we did this in Your name. We did this in Your name. We did this in Your name. And the implication is, we did all this in Your name. Doesn't that qualify us to be with You? And He'll say to them, I never knew You. What? I never knew You. Depart. You are a worker of iniquity. You're still in your sins. Your sins have never been forgiven. Jesus came to save, to seek and to save those that are lost. The reality is all of us are lost. He's the greatest child ever born. It was a wonderful day when you came into this world as a baby. Your parents were happy. My wife and I, we've had 5 children. And we've rejoiced at every birth. You know, your children do grow up and talk back to you after a while, you know. Things do change. But we rejoiced at every birth. But even when you came into this world as a baby and you brought joy to your parents, to many people, it was a wonderful day. But your birth pales in comparison to the birth of Christ. And that's okay. Because His birth, Him coming into this world, changed our lives forever. And all glory goes to Him. All worship goes to Him. All praise goes to Him. And so when we're at Christmas, thinking about the Christmas season, and even in the midst of COVID, you know, the culture, there's a cancel culture out there. They want to cancel Christmas. Don't think so. You can't change this. This is truth that remains. And what glorious truth it is. To finish this out, take a look at verse 36. Mary, you need to know something. Behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. That would be John, you know, the one who would be John the Baptist. This is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Why is he telling her this? Just to tell her, hey, this has also happened? No, there's a reason for this. Elizabeth was a woman who no one thinks or no one believed, even probably herself, could be to the place where she could ever give birth to a baby at her age and her life. And God did that. You see, Mary, to answer your question, God's going to make this happen because with God, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. This will take place. Your life's going to change forever. And it's like, and the angel really doesn't say this, but it's like the angel saying, listen, don't worry. We're going to talk to Joseph. We're going to get him in the know. We're going to make sure he gets the memo and knows what's happening. Just trust God. He'll take care of it. With God, nothing's impossible. And so, you know how Mary responds to all this? Mary doesn't say, hey, I'm a millennial. I got my rights here. No. Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. And as quickly as the angel came, he departed. Mary, in her humble way, is willing to accept whatever the Lord says to her. And she's going to have to live with the reality of what she's been told. Christ is not here yet, but he will come. By the time you get to Luke chapter 2, he's arrived. But Mary's going to have to live with these words. And she will. The beauty is, we can live with these words too. And the truth that is there. He's the greatest child to ever be born. And he's the only one that can save you from your sins. He's the only one that leads and directs. And you want to know, when you look back on 2020, and with all the tragedy, with all of the pain and the suffering, and all of the events that have taken place on multiple angles, at the end of it all, the Lord is sovereign. Nothing escapes his notice. And for us, we just have to walk by faith, trusting every day that what God has started, he will finish. And the way you do this is go read the book of Revelation, and you'll find out how it's all going to end. God wins in the end. That's for sure. And he's sovereignly working it all out. And we can trust him. We can trust in who he is. And rejoice in the fact that he saved us from our sins. That he rules and reigns. And no one can thwart that or change that. And that he is the Son of God. And that he has shown us clearly that he is the Son of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to a passage such as this that we're very familiar with. And we read it over and over. But when we think about the truths that the angel told Mary all those years ago, we realize they are powerful truths that change our life. Change our perspective. Change how we live day to day. Or should change us how we live day to day. Trusting in you, glorifying you, and all that we say and do. Lord, may you be worshiped and you be praised at this Christmas season. With all that's going on in the world, that seeing you clearly for who you are, we never lose sight of that. And we rejoice in all that you've done for us. We give you thanks and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.